Ready to start talking to your kids about financial literacy? Meet Greenlight, the debit card and money app that teaches kids and teens how to earn, save, spend wisely, and invest with your guardrails in place. Parents can send instant money transfers, automate allowance, and more. Plus, keep an eye on spending with real-time notifications. Join more than 6 million families building healthy financial habits together on Greenlight. Get your first month free at greenlight.com/odyssey. That's greenlight.com/odyssey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
It's Nick Costos and Ken Barkley on You Better You Bet from BetQL.
Oh, Jake, let's get the vibes right on a terrific Tuesday. Please bring it up.
What other instrument do we want to throw in the mix here? Let's see.
It's cacophonous. That's not a good thing. He's a slap coming up in 20 minutes. Speaking of, that music bed's kind of a slap. Not in a good way. He's a slap coming up in 20 minutes. So we put a bow on week 7 of the National Football League. All the people that wronged us this weekend and cost us money. Brian Scalabrine next hour. Joey Kanish next hour. Pete Blackburn next hour. Nikki Football still to come. Lockma still to come. The games Ken's already bet for NFL Week 8 still to come. James Mazzola still to come. Power Hour, final hour. But right now, Ken, let's get to a full betting breakdown of Monday Night Football. Man, this is just an atrocious football game. Atrocious, but we won money on it, so God bless. Saints beat the Seahawks 13-10. Seattle cashes full game. Game goes under the total. At worst, you pushed with Seahawks first half plus 3 if you got 3.5 before kickoff, because the number went up to 6 or 6.5 even, I saw right before kickoff. So Saints 13, Seahawks 10. Ken, what do you got here from this game betting wise? And we can do a little P squared, B squared in a little bit.
Yeah, I think just from a betting market standpoint, we brought this point up as part of the Power Hour last night when we were handicapping the game. Just the Saints are a pretty specific type of team this year in terms of, seems like, when you want to back them and when you want to, you know, either pass their games or play against them. We only have a couple data points of this now, but the Giants game was such like an obvious example. You thought the Giants were alive in that game. And my point was just like, there are certain teams that can be 7 over other teams where you're not really worried about their ability to cover the number. Like if Tampa's 7 against another team, Tampa could score enough to cover that number really, really, really easily. Like, they can put together blowout dominant performances. Dallas can be 7 against the team, no problem. Buffalo can be 7 against the team, no problem. The Rams, and I think maybe we're learning even Arizona could be 7 against the team, no problem. But like, when a team like the Saints is 7 against another team, the implication there that they can build a huge lead and then like hang on to it, just like not how they play necessarily. And it's not that they can't do it, but just when the market expects them to do it, like that's the average performance that's expected. I think that's like a really good time to play against them. A team that I just, you know, we've actually seen Baltimore be terrible in this exact situation too, because of their inability to run the ball. You know, basically been a big favorite 3 times this year, probably should have lost all 3 games. Actually did lose on Sunday, 6.5 to the Bengals. So my takeaway is it's less about the game and more just when you watch the Saints play, like how they played last night, you can kind of understand how if they're a touchdown or more, even against a bad team, like that's not the type of market where you would necessarily want to back the Saints. I think last night was like another example that they're that type of team.
Any kind of similar like breakdown that you have of the Seahawks, who have now like 0-2 with Geno Smith as the starter? Obviously, they lost the game against the Rams when Russ got hurt and Geno had to come in, but Geno has covered the spread in back-to-back games now, so Seahawks 2-0 against the number here. They will be favorites coming up next week, which will be the difference, of course, against the Jacksonville Jaguars. They've been dogs in the first 2 games.
Yeah, just trying to find the bottom on their rating. I've lowered it dramatically each of the first two games that he started, because I just could never come in close to where the market could come in on either game. And I'm sure it was almost entirely because of the perceived difference between Russell Wilson and him. I almost said Russell Westbrook, Russell Wilson and him. And like I said this when Wilson got hurt, that when I made my initial downgrade, like I looked at, you know, Patrick Mahomes to Matt Moore, like that was kind of what I used as my baseline to be like, all right, win probability wise, like how much am I really dropping the rating here? And I thought I did enough. And it felt like the market was even more, you know, polarized or more against me than that, in terms of like, no, it's actually like a bigger difference. It's actually a bigger difference.
And market might be right.
And market might be right, even though he's covered both times. It's just interesting that I haven't been able to get to the number in both games against the Steelers and last night against New Orleans. So it's funny. So I think my question is just kind of like, where's the bottom with them? And then as we obviously spin it forward to the game against Jacksonville, we can either do that next or go for some fantasy implications if you want as well, like statistics and stuff from last night. It's just trying to figure out what the right number for this team is. Like, what are they? And we have obviously fewer data points on them than we have on any other team. You know, we have more data points on the Davis Mills Texans even, which is like half a team basically than we have on this team. So it's just trying to figure out like what's actually going on here. And then, as you mentioned, they're in a completely unique situation for them this weekend, favored in a game and favored by more than a field goal, it's worth noting. So, you know, what do we do with that situation, which is obviously much, much, much different than what we've seen the last 2 weeks.
Geno Smith needs to not play another down for the Seahawks.
Yeah, you're really big on this.
Absolutely. Yeah. He's terrible. He's terrible. And like, while I think the Seahawks offense is completely antiquated, like 1988 called, it wants its offense back, its offensive game plan back. Like, you can kind of see why they're not letting Geno throw the ball. It's not that like he doesn't have the arm strength or he doesn't have like good mobility and escapability. He's not a good athlete. He is a literal deer in headlights. Like, once the pressure is even close, he looks at the defender that's running at him and he like completely freezes. He took so many sacks that knocked him back in field goal range, like forced the field goals back, knocked him out of field goal range last night. The final drive was like something out of a fever dream with Geno taking these sacks. Like, what are you doing, man? Like, get rid of the ball. Like, run away and try to throw it to someone. Try and make a play. Like, I think that he's got better like tools to succeed than Jacob Eason. I don't think you can keep playing this guy. Like, I don't think you can win with him. And we'll talk about the game coming up against the Jaguars. Ken, he is terrible. He's awful. I would play Jacob Eason over him, and Jacob Eason just got the town in Seattle. That's how bad I think Geno Smith is right now for this team.
Yeah, I mean, clearly you and the market are on the same page on this one, that the downgrade is massive. Do you want to do P squared, B squared, and just start with their game? Should we do it that way? In terms of stuff, else in the game? Yeah. I mean, I agree with you. He's awful. I mean, I don't really know how to like frame it a lot different than that. I don't know if Jacob Eason should play instead of him. They're probably just both awful. But you know, I just think it's interesting that like I literally looked at like the largest difference the market gave between a starter and backup in history, basically used that and was nowhere close. Like, that's actually the really interesting part. It's like, oh, it's actually just the widest gap imaginable, which somehow I was under rating, which I just is crazy to me that like I really thought I would have this number right after having the Steelers went off by a little bit. And I was fine with that. I was like, great, I'll make another massive downgrade. No problem. Wait, I couldn't even get to six. I couldn't get to 6.5. I wasn't even close. Like, what does that mean? And what does that mean for this week? Which I think is interesting too.
Yeah. All my Saints related notes kind of like dovetail in with their game this week against the Buccaneers. So we can hold that here just for Seattle. Like, you mentioned like the props did well last night. Like, we talked about the Jameis passing yards that went over. Freddie Swain ended up going over. DK Metcalf catches an 84-yard touchdown at the very beginning of the game on like a busted coverage by Marshawn Lattimore. By the way, those two were like, that's like Cortland Finnegan, Andre Johnson, like a couple levels below it, but those two guys hate each other, Metcalf right. And Lattimore. So that was fascinating. An 84-yard touchdown at the very beginning of the game. Geno Smith ends the game with 167 passing yards, and he had 84 on one play at the very beginning. And Metcalf closes with two catches in the game. Tyler Lockett only catches two passes. It's like, what is this game plan? Like, I get that Geno's not good, but I mean, like, really? Like, this is what you're doing here. 28 carries for 90 yards as a team for the Seattle Seahawks. Collins, 16 for 35. It's hard to watch. Like, as a football fan, someone who loves fantasy, I love betting, I love football, I'm just tired of Pete Carroll. Like, I've had enough of the Seahawks coaching staff. Like, get them out. See, at least Carroll has the self-awareness to say after the game last night, like, I've been here for a long time. If not for Russell Wilson, I wouldn't have been here a long time. You think? You think that Pete Carroll would have lasted this long without Russell Wilson there? You want to talk about a hell of a Band-Aid to cover up a wound? How about a future first ballot Hall of Fame quarterback? That'll get the job done here. I've had enough of Pete Carroll and the Seahawks coaching staff. Anyway, you better you bet, BetQL, Costos and Barkley on a terrific Tuesday. Let's spin it forward now here, Ken. A little P squared, B squared. Dealer's choice. We can start wherever you'd like, Buccaneers and the Saints or the Seahawks and the Jaguars.
Let's,
go ahead.
Well, you're on such a roll with Seattle. Let's take that into their next game, which is, I think, a really funny game to talk about.
I have a much stronger feeling on the Buccaneers-Saints game, so let's hold that. We'll do that in a little bit here. So Seahawks are 3.5-point favorite over the Jaguars at our show sponsor, Bet Rivers. The total is 43.5. My initial thought, game's in Seattle, yep. My initial thought is Jaguars money line. Jacksonville's going to win the game coming off the bye. Geno's absolutely terrible. I don't know if I'm ready to I'm certainly not ready to put that bet in. I need to think more about it. I come out of that game last night thinking that the Seahawks are one of the worst teams in football right now with Geno Smith as the starting quarterback. I think I would pick the Tyrod Taylor Texans to beat the Seahawks on a neutral field.
Yeah. I don't know if I can get there yet, but I hear what you're saying, and I don't think you're that far off. This number is really, really interesting for a lot of different reasons. So Seattle puts that performance on tape last night, which inarguably was bad. I mean, I guess you say, they had a chance to win the game. Didn't look great. The Pittsburgh game, they're in it. Pittsburgh's also a team, Pittsburgh and New Orleans actually mirror each other so closely in terms of just bad offense that allows teams that they're favored against to stay in the game. And this is a completely different type of game. And Jacksonville is off a bye. I'm really surprised that this is holding at 3.5. My initial number on this is slightly under 3. But I am also, so it's why didn't you bet Jacksonville immediately? That's such a big edge. Because we still have so few games and we only have basically the same type of game twice with Geno Smith. That's what we have. Team that can bad offensively, probably can't blow anybody out, can't hold a lead as a favorite of more than a field goal against Geno Smith. We have that game twice. Same outcome both times. This is a completely different setup. Could the Seahawks run the ball a little bit better in this game? Could they be conservative and not even have Geno Smith have to do a lot in order to win the game because the Jaguars are that bad and because maybe Lawrence will turn it over so much? Maybe. It's just such a weird game to bet into because
their defense is terrible. The Jaguars are going to score in this game.
That's what I'm reluctant to be I love the, I don't
the
think
Jaguars
I
are going to win,
Jags, but
I'd rather have Urban Meyer than Pete Carroll.
Would you really rather have Urban Meyer than Pete Carroll? Really?
In 2021, I would. Yes. In 2021, I would rather have Urban. I would rather have Urban in a bar in Ohio with some woman who's not his wife grinding on him than Pete Carroll. Yes.
Okay. Noted. A couple other just kind of points of comparison here where it's I think it's impossible to use previous spreads, even the market for Geno Smith so far to try to predict anything going forward. I think I feel we're all still trying to just figure out what's going on here in terms of a rating and what the spread should be in their games. For Jacksonville, so they're 1.5 against Miami in the London game on a neutral. They're they closed a 4-point dog at home to Tennessee. I'm really surprised this number's 3.5. And I think the reason why I say that, but yet I haven't bet Jacksonville is probably why it's holding that way, which is to make this bet implies that you really want to bet the Jags in a pretty hostile road environment, cross-country travel with a coach who's incompetent, where they really a lot of times have to win the game to cover the number. You're betting Jacksonville to do that. And I think that's obviously what's probably running into this and why this number is at least holding somewhere around 3.
So what do you think you're going to end up doing?
I don't know yet. I honestly don't know. I haven't bet the game yet. I have no plans to bet Jacksonville today.
Let's play the game. Pen, pencil, blood, or blank. Is it a pencil? Is it a blank? Are you not going to do anything?
I think I'm blank. I'm blank on 3.5. The really interesting thing would be, if we got a 2.5 juiced, would I actually bet Seattle in that situation? Let's see where the market goes.
Jaguars money line, if it's 2.5. Tease Jaguars.
Tease Jaguars, sure. The total's going to be insanely low. The game's unlikely to be a blowout. Okay, I agree with you on that. 2.5, I might bet Seattle if the number gets really close to mine and we go through 3, just because of what that implies about like how the game has to play out. This is like, it's like a really bizarre situation where like a raw power rating is going to create a number, but like what that number implies about what you're doing when you put money on a team, like, yes, should the difference be a little less than this? Yes. Does that mean when you bet this difference that you actually probably need Jacksonville to win to cover? Yes. And they're on the road in Seattle. That's tough. That's a tough spot. Like that's, it's just, it's a really, the dynamics of this game are really interesting. Right now, I mean, like, I think blank right now, honestly, like not even a pencil on anything. What about the total too? That's the other thing.
How about this? I want to take this in a different direction.
Okay.
I think the Jaguars could blow them out.
I think that's very unlikely.
I think the Seahawks are like season circling the drain. The coach is incompetent. Urban is also, I agree. Geno sucks. I feel like the Jaguars could win this game by like, okay, well, blowout. I don't know. Like, that's probably a bit of an overstatement.
Yeah, I mean, I feel like the Jags Jaguars haven't scored more than 23. Like 7-10 points. Yeah, the Jags haven't scored more than 23 the whole season. They've done it once. They've scored about 20 or less in every single game they played. The likelihood they're going to blow out Seattle at their place seems pretty low.
All right. So how about this? Let me reframe. How about like a 7-10 point win, not like a blowout, but like they could win this game by 7-10 points.
I mean, sure. Yeah. Like I can't say no to a game that's like one possession. Yes. Yes. They could win by that margin. They could win by that margin.
I think they could win by 10. It could potentially be more like, I am so down on Seattle right now. And like, I need to like, but, we got to see injury reports.
I mean,
and stuff
so is the market a little bit here. I mean, I understand my numbers less, but still like, think about what this market implies. Like Jacksonville's one of the worst teams in the league. No question. Games in Seattle, 3.5. Like, doesn't that kind of tell you that we're all on the same page on Seattle being bad? Like, I don't know if you have like a keen insight that they're specifically terrible. That's my point.
Oh, I think they're worse. I think they're worse than this. I think like the bottom's actually lower on the Seahawks than this number is. On the other side, he's a slap, and we'll break down the Bucks and the Saints.
You hear that? Your dog knows. Spring is coming sooner than you think. Dog walks, dog parks, playing fetch, all the stuff your dog loves to do with you. But the warmer weather also means that fleas and ticks are coming back. Fleas and ticks are in the grass, in the woods, and even on their dog friends. Fleas are an itchy nuisance, can easily get into your home, furniture, and beds, which can be terrible. Ticks are even worse. They're hard to spot, but can carry disease and get your dog really sick. PetMeds has your furry friend protected with the best products to prevent flea and ticks all year long. PetMeds pharmacists connect directly with your vet to save you time and deliver the best products for your pet. PetMeds offers low prices on all flea and tick meds, including NexGard, Simparica, and more. And PetMeds AutoShip helps you save even more with additional discounts on regular shipments of PetMeds, dog food, and other high-quality supplies. So get ready for all the spring fun now. Visit PetMeds.com and use promo code PODCAST to save 40% on your first auto ship order. That's PetMeds.com and promo code PODCAST.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with 3 rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
It's Nick Costos and Ken Barkley on You Better You Bet from BetQL.
He's a slap coming up in a few minutes to wrap up week 7 in the National Football League. 3 guests in hour 2. Pete Blackburn, Bally Sports, NHL. Joey Kanish, Pro Sports Better, NFL and college football. And our pal Brian Scalabrini joins in 20 minutes. Odyssey Sports NBA Insider talking all things NBA. But for now, Ken, a little P squared, B squared on the Buccaneers and the Saints game coming up Sunday from New Orleans. The current line at our show sponsor, Bet Rivers. Bucks a 4.5 point favorite. Total 50. Penn, pencil, blood, or blank. Bucks laying 4.5 at the Saints. Total of 50.
I'll say probably double pencil on this game, I would say, because I haven't bet the game yet either way. Pencil Saints, pencil under would probably be where I would go in terms of my expectations. My number for this is pretty close, but I do show a little bit of value in betting the Saints. There are fives on the board right now, too, and I even see a five on our graphic for Bet Rivers right now. So that kind of mirrors what's going on in the market, where like Tampa's obviously on this incredible, you know, kind of offensive run this season, really. It's not even like a recency bias kind of thing, putting up a ton of points. When they seem like the type of team this year where when they really overmatch a team, like lay over them talent wise, it's just an insane blowout. Baltimore last year would be a good comp for a team like that. Not in that they behave the same in terms of what they do strategically, but just how they behave in games with those kind of lines. And that's not this, which is kind of interesting. The teams that Tampa's faced recently also generally have pretty poor offensive lines. When they face teams that have better offensive lines would probably be the right way to put it. The games have predominantly been closer. New England would be a good example of that. That's what the Saints bring. Now they lost one of their guards, Andrews Pete, probably for the season. So it's not quite as good as it was before, but I don't think it's a terrible matchup for the Saints necessarily in terms of the thing that's creating these Tampa blowouts is a little bit negated by what the Saints kind of have in their possession in terms of talent. My number in the game is 3.5, so I'm not like crazy far off here or anything, but I think maybe a little bit of line value in the Saints would be my initial impression. And then no one's been able to run the ball on Tampa the entire season. Are the Saints really going to be the team that has like an insane amount of success? They could have some,
there
I guess.
There have been a couple cracks in the armor though. On the balance, I agree with you, but right. We have seen teams like kind of like have a little success. I'm not saying you're wrong.
Right.
Like we are starting to see some cracks in the armor as far as the Bucs run defense is concerned.
A little bit. I mean, I know like Khalil Herbert had like one very explosive running play for the Bears last week, which probably like affects the overall numbers in that game too.
Miles Sanders had that long run in the fourth quarter as well on Thursday night.
It could be what's happening. What's creating this impression is that, you know, Tampa's putting teams in situations where they're not going to run the ball ever. So it keeps the legend alive, basically, because no one's actually going to challenge them when they're down 21 running the ball. So it could be that you're right, and we just don't know it yet. Like, we don't know that there's actually these huge weaknesses that are going to be exposed, potentially. In terms of under in the game, like, I think if you look at the defenses that Tampa has played going back a very long time, this is probably an inflated offensive projection for them versus what they're going to see from New Orleans in the game. Like, New Orleans can do things to them defensively that like Chicago without Akeem Hicks is never going to be able to do, that Miami has a 0.0% chance of doing, that like a pretty hurt, beat up version of New England probably had a 0% chance of doing, honestly. So I think some challenges the Saints present make this game a little more interesting. And I'm the guy who like lays it with Tampa basically every week. So I'm gonna say pencil Saints, pencil under. Haven't bet the game yet.
And the Saints, by the way, getting back David Onyemata coming up this weekend, defensive tackle, who's an absolute, absolute monster, like baby Aaron Donald to a degree, like not as good as Aaron Donald, but an absolute stud defensive tackle, the middle of that line for the Saints, served a 6-game suspension. Cameron Jordan said that basically Onyemata has been lifting weights for the last 6 weeks, like he's going to be raring to go. So like, I think this is a big deal getting him back in the middle of this defensive line going up against Tampa. Ken, I think I'm pen on the Saints here.
Okay.
Like I like New Orleans a lot at this number, and I try to think about now, and I don't do like as good a job of it as you do, but I'm trying to get in the mode now of trying to like go up off closing numbers of games that we've seen. Right. And things obviously change over the course of the season. But when we saw the Saints play New England this year, that game was in Foxborough. The Saints closed what in that game? Like 2.5, right, on
three,
the road?
Three was technically the game. Close, but you're close. Yeah, about a field goal.
And the Bucs closed what, 6.5?
Six.
Against Tampa? Yeah. In New England against the Patriots? So, like, I can't, like, if we're assuming, like, a couple points of home field for New England here, like, shouldn't this number be, like, 3?
Or, like, three
I know
and
your
half,
number's
like
3.5.
Number.
Yeah.
Yeah. Some of it
I
might
like
be
the Saints.
No, I think that makes a lot of sense, honestly. And it's also those games weren't in like, I was afraid you were going to be like, well, in week one, they played the Packers. And I was like, well, that game is in Jacksonville. And that's like a tough spot. I don't know.
It's the biggest anomaly game of all time. Right. 38-3 Saints.
And one thing I like to do too, is just like, all right, like have these teams played like types of games like this before, either against quality of opponent from a rating standpoint, or in terms of how the market views them. This is basically the first game for New Orleans in this spot. Like completely first game of the season in this spot, like Packers in Jacksonville to open when your home arena is flooded is like the only data point that we, and you'd be like, oh, well they won by a lot. Like That game might as well have been the preseason in terms of me trying to use that to evaluate what
we
can expect here.
It might be like the single biggest like outlier game, like maybe like we've ever seen. Like, and I actually don't think that's hyperbolic. Just like an insane outlier performance.
And week one, and honestly, like week one, we look back all the time and see, like when we get to the end of the year, we go, oh my God, like how did that score happen? In week one, it happens all the time. But like then
Jaguars over Colts last year in week one.
Yeah, I mean, there's down the list, obviously, there's the types of opponents that New Orleans has played since that game where it's like, okay, well, have they played A, an elite opponent, B, a game where they're like a relatively big underdog by more than a field goal? The answer to both questions is no, which is really like for this point in the season, usually you have at least a little bit to go on in terms of what to expect. Like how many times have we done Eagles games against good offenses? Like 5 times already this season, like the exact same market over and over and over and over again. You know, how many times have we done Bills as a big favorite, Chiefs as a big favorite, Tampa in certain situations, the Giants in several different situations. And yet with this, it's like, New Orleans, since the Green Bay-Jacksonville game, has played Carolina, New England, the Giants, Washington, and Seattle. None of those are even remotely close to this game. Like, it might as well be a different sport in terms of trying to figure it out. Now, the market is actually completely different, too. New Orleans hasn't been more than a field goal dog in any game they played this season, except the Packers opener. And I think we could agree there was a lot of, like, extra informational stuff that went into that number about how the Saints were going to perform in that game. Obviously, you know, not New Orleans, but in Jacksonville instead. It's week one, all that kind of stuff. So I think when you have an outlier market and an outlier type of opponent, it can create an unexpected outcome, honestly, would kind of be the way I would look at it. So I think that's actually something that makes me like the Saints a little bit more, is nobody knows what to expect in this spot. And we're kind of rating it like Tampa needs to win by a large margin to cover.
I am I'm Penn Saints on this game, Saints against the Buccaneers. And I'll tell you what else I'm going to be Penn on for sure. And I want to see what the number's going to open up at, but the last two games we've seen New Orleans play, I've liked Jameis over passing yards. He's gone over in both. Really should have had like 300 plus last night. Like a brutal game from his pass catchers, dropping a ton of passes. Like the clip that went
bad
viral
too,
of Jameis kind of
might help.
Yeah,
you with
Jameis screaming. Yeah, and what will be in a dome? Tampa's secondary, whether because they're injured, whether because the players aren't good, it's not good. And like Justin Fields and the Bears are completely unable to take advantage, obviously, last week for like whatever the reason you want to assign that Fields isn't ready, the offensive coaches are incompetent, doesn't make a difference here. This is also, like, I hate doing stuff like this, but I'm going to do it. Like, it's like Jameis is going to want to stick it to Bruce and stick it to the Bucs here. This is obviously his former team. I'm curious what this number is going to be. If it's like 198.5, like the total's high, so I'm guessing it's going to be a little higher than it's been.
What if it's like 230? Like,
I think over. I think he could throw for like 300 yards in this game.
Okay. It might be a little higher than that with a 50 total, but like, I don't think it's going to be that. I would be surprised if it's like 250, 260 based on what we've seen so far this year from him. Yeah. Like the other thing you mentioned, like, well, why couldn't these other teams take advantage of it? Like the likelihood that New Orleans offensive line can hold up better than those teams is 100%, basically. Like Miami,
they're probably,
and
they're not going to be down 35-3 right. at halftime.
But like, just every Justin Fields drop back, every Brissett drop back, like it was a disaster all the time. Like that's our recency bias. That's like what we're bringing into this game is the memory of like Tampa's creating these huge leads in part because the offensive lines of their opponents are the worst in the NFL. And you're going from that to New Orleans, who might have the best offensive line in the NFL, or at least it was until Pete got hurt. So like, just even if it's like a hurt version of the New Orleans offensive line, the change there is just so massive that you have the recency of Tampa putting up these huge numbers. Like, I just think it sets up like an awesome situation to bet on New Orleans.
All right. You better. You bet. BetQL. Terrific Tuesday. Nick Costos, Ken Barkley here with you. A lot of guests coming up next hour here on the show, but right now we put a bow on week 7 of the National Football League with all the players and coaches that wronged us. It's never our fault when we lose. It's always someone else's. So let's get to it. He's a slap for week number 7. The greatest music bet of all time. John Harbaugh, slap number 1. Everyone likes to look at John Harbaugh and say, wow, this guy's a great coach. Wow, John Harbaugh, such a riverboat gambler. John Harbaugh is so aggressive. How about John Harbaugh in a game where his team's a 6.5-point favorite against a franchise that they've smacked around for the better part of the last decade? You know what John Harbaugh does in two situations? When he could have the greatest field goal kicker in NFL history, who's weeks off a 66-yard game-winning field goal, to kick a field goal 55, 56, 57 yards. You know what John Harbaugh opts to do? Punt. punt. And you know what happens? The football gods say, not today, John Harbaugh. And Joe Burrow and the Bengals go down and put 14 points up on the board against the Ravens. John Harbaugh, what's he ever won? John Harbaugh, more concerned with the 100-yard rushing streak, more concerned with winning consecutive preseason games, ridiculous streaks. You know what he's not concerned with? Beating the Cincinnati Bengals. And more importantly, covering my bet on the Ravens. John Harbaugh, slap number one. Man, I wasn't even invested in the Washington football team last week, but I'm still pissed at Taylor Heinicke. On behalf of my guy, Ken Barkley, and anyone that bet Washington, and anyone that bet the over on Sunday against the Green Bay Packers, how about this clown, Taylor Heinicke? Grew up a Packers fan, playing in Lambeau Field, has his chance for glory. What's he going to do? Go down at the 1 yard line with no one around him when he has a chance to score a touchdown. Because really, that's what you want to do when you're trying to become the starting quarterback when the starter's out hurt. Ryan Fitzpatrick could have his skull literally split in half and would have dove into the end zone with four guys coming at him because Ryan Fitzpatrick gives a damn. Ryan Fitzpatrick is trying to win. Ryan Fitzpatrick wants to play. Taylor Heinicke, he's a backup. Taylor Heinicke, never going to be a starter. Taylor Heinicke is a slap. Chiefs general manager Brett Veach. You know how hard it is to screw up Patrick Mahomes? Just check out Brett Veach's resume. What a great pick with Clyde Edwards-Helaire in the first round of the draft a couple years ago. Great job by Brett Veach rebuilding this offensive line. Mahomes is running for his life every week. Great job by Brett Veach not supplying Travis Kelce and Tyreek Hill with any other playmakers around him. Now the Chiefs are 3-4. Now Patrick Mahomes is being called out by people, members of the media who need to have their heads examined. They're slaps. And you know who else is a slap? Brett Veach. And the final slap of the week, the Carrollsaurus. I've had it with this guy. Run, 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 punt has replaced run, run, pass, punt of the things that pissed me off the most in the National Football League. Pete, stop chewing gum like it owes you money. Retire. Go off into the sunset with your Rolex and get the hell out of our faces. You slap. Meteor coming for the Carrollsaurus. Hour number two, You Better You Bet, right after this.
It's You Better You Bet.
I'm Trey Wingo.
And I'm Kevin Frazier. We're teaming up on a new weekly sports podcast from Wondery, Alternate Routes.
As former SportsCenter anchors and current sports obsessives, we're consumed by all the what-if questions that make being a sports fan so excruciatingly fun.
If you're like us, then you also live and die on the fallout from every drop pass, busted draft pick, and game-changing play.
Or play call.
Intercepted at the goal line by Malcolm Butler.
Sorry, Marshawn, still too soon. Each week on Alternate Routes, we'll take a flashpoint in sports, break down what actually happened, then explore every alternate scenario and the ripple effects it would have caused.
Follow and listen to Alternate Routes on the Wondery app or wherever you get your podcasts. You can listen ad-free by joining Wondery Plus in the Wondery app or on Apple Podcasts.
I mean, the possibilities are limitless, Kevin.
What if Portland drafted Michael Jordan?
What if the NBA never vetoed the Chris Paul trade to the Lakers? That's a butterfly effect forever.